Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, 1 through 7. Mark chapter 5, 1 through 7. And they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. And always night and day in the tombs and in the mountains he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and crying out with a loud voice, he saith, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not.
Good morning, friends, brethren. Hope you're all having a wonderful day once again. We had a great class this morning. Looking forward to a great rest of our worship and a great evening service tonight. Hope you all had a good night's rest last night as well. We're in the book of Mark chapter 5, as was just read a moment ago. And what we're talking about this morning is Jesus' healing power. So this is one of the most beautiful occasions to me. Of a man being healed by Jesus, because it shows a man in the depths of darkness, in the greatest depths of darkness. And it shows Jesus going to that man and helping that man when no one else can, when no one else will. It shows Jesus going to that man and helping him. In his worst time, absolutely worst time, the man is possessed by countless demons in this text, as we're going to read about, and he needs help, and Jesus is going to help this man. So let's look at this. At Jesus' effect on a man possessed with so many demons. Let's look at the effect, how Jesus had the power and the healing ability to change that man's life. So we can also know that Jesus can do the same for us today. Maybe not miraculously, but in a spiritual way, He can do the same for us. So once again, this man, he had no hope. He had no Savior. He had nothing to look forward to. This man was being controlled, even possessed. As we know, possession in the New Testament accounts show that these demons would overtake somebody's body completely. Well, this man was completely taken over by these demons. He had no hope from the worst enemies and darkness possible. And he needed something that could help save him from the depths of despair, from the depths of darkness. So what we have here is a man in trouble with darkness. And Jesus arrives at an unpleasant looking place. If we read there in Mark 5, read with me again, verses 1 through 3. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. When he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. You think it's pleasant going to a bunch of tombs, going to a graveyard? No, it's not pleasant going to a gravesite at all. It's not pleasant going to a place like that, and then after we're going to see a man going around cutting himself with stones. Jesus is not stepping into a pleasant place here. We know that the Pharisees would not frequent places that were basically under them, that were gross to them. Well, Jesus is willing to go to a place that has a man running around like a crazy man, like a wild man, in a bunch of graveyard sites and tombs. He's willing to go there and help this man in the worst moments of his life. He's willing to do that. So what a great example from Jesus here. Just a little side note, this Gadarenes, or as we see in other accounts, in Gergesenes, the country of the Gergesenes, it's a location on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. So if we know where the Sea of Galilee is, it's basically a location on the eastern shore of that, just a small little place at a bunch of tombs. We don't know the exact location of where that is, but in the text, that's where we have as a general area. So if you know your Bible map, that's where it's going to be, on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, where this is taking place. So Jesus is arriving at these tombs. He's meeting this individual. They're in the graveyards. This is outside of the city. This man has gone completely insane. He's left the city, as other accounts say. And just as another side note, other accounts for this exact same occasion are these right here. I'm going to tell you these in case you're taking notes. Matthew 8:28-34 is another reference for this exact same event happening. Matthew 8:28-34, and then also Luke 8:26-38. So other gospel accounts actually record this exact same thing happening here. Same event, same place, same time, same people. But in Matthew's account, I will say that there's actually two demon-possessed men in Matthew's account. That doesn't mean there's contradictions in Scripture. That just means that one writer focused on recording something about one man really more than another. Doesn't mean there's a contradiction. He didn't say that the other man didn't exist. It just means that he didn't record that there was two. He just wanted to focus on the one, really, for a teaching point. But a man in trouble with darkness, as far as Mark 5:1-20. So when this man is in trouble with the greatest darkness, Jesus came to help him. If you're not a Christian, if you're living in sin, Jesus can help you even in your greatest times of darkness. We can repent regardless of whatever sins that we've committed in our past. If we go to Acts 3:19. Let's read that together. Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. So repent therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. It doesn't matter what you've done. As we read there a moment ago in our class, in 1 Timothy 1:15-17, as we read that text there, it talks about the Apostle Paul. That man was guilty of the blood of Christians. That man was guilty of many things against the church. And nonetheless, he was used as an example of the long-suffering of Christ, of the forgiveness of Jesus, of the forgiveness of God, that no matter what we've done in this life, the saving, healing power of Jesus can affect you, no matter what, as long as you, of course, turn to Jesus and follow His law. But a man in trouble with darkness, back to our main text here, he needs help. And I will say, as one more side note, another great text here, great text. And let's just go ahead and read it, since it's a great text. Second Chronicles. And that's going to be in chapter 30 and verse 9. Chapter 30 and verse 9 of Second Chronicles. I'll read it real quick. For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive, so that they may come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn His face from you if you return to Him. Something to keep in mind, Christians, is that we might get caught up in a sin in our life. We might get caught up in a sin countless times. We all have. We might not be able to stop it for a while, but then we may repent. We may turn back to God. But when we do that, will God turn His face from you? No, God won't turn His face from you ever. God will forgive you of your sins whenever you repent of those things. As you have godly sorrow, and God knows it in your heart, you don't have to shed a tear to do that. It's not something physical. It's something that you know and God knows, and you're really wanting forgiveness of sins that you know lead you to death. And God, of course, will forgive you of that. The saving, healing power of Jesus will, of course, clean you, make you completely free from that bondage of sin. So let's continue with our text here, Mark 5:4-5. Because he had been bound with chains and shackles often, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So once again, a man in trouble with darkness, an unpleasant place, and now unpleasant sights from an unpleasant-looking man. And nonetheless, although this man looks like he's in the depths of despair, even in Luke 8:27, where this other account is recorded, it says that the man literally has no clothes on. He's basically naked. Even though all of this is the case, guess who's there to help him? Jesus is there to help him. Nonetheless, just because this man looks terrible, and we might think about maybe our homeless, because our homeless sometimes don't look the best, do they? And that's just the truth. Well, they can't take care of themselves the same. Maybe that's by choice, maybe not, whatever. In third world countries, there's people running around naked. But guess what? Who should be there to save them? We should be there to save them. And Jesus. Jesus would be there to save them, so we should be there to save them. This man was running around with no clothes on. He was in the depths of despair, the depths of darkness. And Jesus was there to help him out. No matter what he'd done in the past, Jesus was there to help him. So What a great account, what a great example that we can look at from Jesus' life that he did for another man. Imagine a king going from his throne, going from his most excellent position, being on his throne with all of his maybe guards around him. I'm talking about a physical king. Imagine that. And him stepping into the worst, murkiest, darkest, most disgusting place that you can think of, maybe. That would be out in the mountains with this wild man running around with blood all over the ground, cutting himself with stones. And this king is Jesus, taking care of a man that is nowhere close in authority or in looks to Jesus. But nonetheless, God cares about this man, even this man, possessed with countless demons in the depths of darkness. He's taking care of this man. What a great example, once again, from Jesus, from God, that is recorded in this group of Scripture here. So once again, who would ever save someone in such a condition? Well, no one else could. Only Jesus could. So what we see here in the next verses is Jesus is going to confront the evil infecting this man and possessing this man. Mark 5, 6 through 7, read with me. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." So Jesus is confronting this evil now. Even the demons know to worship God or be tormented. Demons. You know what demons are? They're spiritual beings. Spiritual beings. And some people argue, are they angels or are they not? Well, that's not the topic here today, but they're spiritual beings. I believe they are angels. They're fallen angels. But ultimately, demons are spiritual beings that left really following God entirely. So whoever they are, they don't have part with God. They're ultimately, though, knowing in full knowledge of the fact that Jesus is in power, that Jesus is God. And they're terrified. Demons, spiritual beings, they're terrified of God. We might think of an angel. Well, how great is an angel? How awesome is an angel? Now think of really their counterpart, maybe like a fallen angel, because we know in Revelation 12:7, there were those who followed after Satan, weren't there? There were those other angels who followed after Satan in the battle of heaven. In that text, there were others who followed after him. Well, those, I believe those once again to be demons. But those here, they're terrified of God because they know the terror of the Lord. They know the terror of God, and they're really even trying to worship God. Even though they're sinful, they're going against God's law entirely. They know here that God can torment them and that God can terrorize them even with torment of hell and all of these different things. They know that, and they're terrified here. This is a fascinating scene, Christians. I don't want you to miss it. But even the demons know the terror of the Lord. They're literally begging Jesus for mercy. One thing in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 19, that we can look at. James 2:19. James, the brother of Jesus, he's actually recounting this. Of course, James, being the brother of Jesus, and even James the Apostle, but James, the brother of Jesus, would have seen these types of things. And he accounts there in 2:19, James 2:19, "You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble." Well, are they trembling here? Yeah, they're pretty scared. They're pretty scared. They're scared of God. They're terrified of God, whom they rejected. So demons, they also, another thing that we can look at, let's go to Acts 19, because this is another thing I want you to notice. We're talking about demons a little bit here. Acts 19, 11 through 20. Demons seem to know the saints, but they don't even know their own. Now this is a really, really neat point that I don't want you to miss. Acts 19, 11 through 20. Here's a similar occasion here, but it's not Jesus trying to heal the people. Acts 19, 11 through 20. "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. Diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves." Now this is not Christians, these are Jews here. "To call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.'" They're not Christians. They're just doing it because they know it works. Now, verse 14. "Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, And Paul, I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many of those who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You notice what that ultimately those evil spirits were saying? They didn't even know their own. The Jews, those who were not part of Jesus, those who were not following after God, they would not have been in the light. They wouldn't have been with God. So what would they have been with? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan? The kingdom of Satan. And the demons, also part of the kingdom of Satan, didn't even know who they were. You want to be part of Satan's kingdom? He doesn't even know who you are. That's a great point here. A great point that I don't want you to miss. They don't even know who you are. If you ultimately choose sin, your leader, Satan, really the father of lies, the father of evil, he doesn't even know who you are. He doesn't even care. But if you're a Christian, if you're Paul, if you're Jesus, if you're Christians here today, who he's trying to tempt and he's focused on trying to bring down, he knows us because he wants to take us down. So what a great point that I thought we'd make as a side note there. Let's go back to our main text. Mark 5, 8 through 10 now. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirits. Then he asked him, saying, what is your name? And he answered him, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now Jesus looks through the man at the demons infecting him. He's literally directly talking to the wicked spiritual beings that are possessing this man, that are unseen by physical eyes, by physical beings. Jesus is able to talk to these things, talk to these beings inside of this man possessing him. This is a great account, Christians. Don't miss it. But these demons, they're assaulting the man's soul. There's not just one of them. Luke 8:30 also says the same thing. There's many demons, legion, that word. In general, it really just means many. It just means a large group. It really just means a large group. And, of course, this large group of demons is overwhelmed this man, possessed this man, where he's just lost it. He can't control his body anymore. So we can see here, this man is in the greatest depths of darkness and despair. And he needs help, man. He needs help. And Jesus is here to help him. So some texts we can look at, 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Some things that Paul says, we should be aware of the devices of Satan, of the devices of demons to take us down, Christians. Paul was also aware. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Let's read it. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's Paul, of course, talking there. We're not ignorant of his devices. Christians, don't be ignorant of his devices. Satan will use whatever he can, whenever he can, wherever he can, in order to tempt you and take you down and lead you into darkness, just as he maybe did this man here. Be aware of his devices. Ephesians 6:10-13. Ephesians 6:10-13. Read it real quick. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now catch this, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Are we up against just Satan? No, it doesn't seem like it. We're up against also those followers of Satan. Those angels who followed after Satan in that war in heaven, whenever that was, we don't really know for sure, but whenever that happens, we know Satan sinned from the beginning. He had followers. Those who followed after him and ultimately left their proper domain in God's kingdom. So we need to be aware that we are, of course, fighting up against these spiritual beings, these hosts of wickedness, who are trying to tempt us and lead us down the path of darkness. So be aware of that, Christians. Now, we talked about those things a moment ago with the war in heaven and all of that. We won't go read it, but I encourage you later, maybe this afternoon, go read Revelation 12, and your text there is going to be in Revelation 12:7-12. Revelation 12:7-12. It's a beautiful text because it indicates how Michael and the angels in heaven take down Satan and those who are following him, And they basically cast them out of heaven. So go read that text. That's an awesome, awesome text. And how the power of God overcomes the power of Satan, which is ultimately nothing against God. But Mark 5 again, 11 through 13. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So swine, of course, everyone knows what swine is here, out here. Pigs. In the city, they probably wouldn't even know what swine meant. But here, we know what that is. That's pigs. So the demons, they're wanting to get away from Jesus. They just want to be away from him. They don't want to be anywhere near the Son of God, near God. They want to be gone from Jesus' presence because they know that Jesus can torment them. They know that God can torment them, can cast them down into places of darkness where they're chained up forever. They know God can do that, and God will do that. So they're saying, please, let us just at least go into this swine and get away from you. I mean, they just want to get away. They're pleading, they're begging, they're trying to worship Jesus. They're wanting to get away from Jesus. So they know, even demons, are terrified of God, are terrified of Jesus. What an awesome, awesome amount to God's power and God's authority. They're terrified. Look at the chaos of evil, though, also. Even the animals, they can't take demons being in them. What do? They can't take evil being within them. They run into the sea and kill themselves. All these animals, all these pigs here, all this swine, they run into the sea and kill themselves. They can't take it. Evil is just always leading to death. Always. Romans 6:23, always sin is leading to death. Evil leads to death. Animals can't even take it. Kill themselves. So yeah, a lot of good points we can make here. But let's read the remainder of our text. Matthew 5:14-17. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, who saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right hand, in his right mind, rather, they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. So now, we see the fear of all of what just happened. The effect on the man and the masses. So this man is now healed. He's now been completely clean of all these demons. Jesus has saved this man in the greatest depths of despair once again, the greatest darkness. He saved him. And these other people who know that this has happened, who saw that even the swine running into the sea, killing themselves because the demons went into them, they couldn't take it, all these people are terrified. They're absolutely horrified because this happened. They saw this, and now they're even asking Jesus to leave. They're asking him to leave. Verse 17, and they began to plead with him, Jesus, to depart from their region because they know that that man was certainly possessed by otherworldly beings, by spiritual beings. They knew that. They knew that man was crazy, that he had strength that he shouldn't have been able to have. That was demons. They knew that. They were terrified. And even Jesus could cast those things out? Well, who is Jesus? He must be even more powerful. So they're terrified of Jesus at this time. They're even asking him to leave. So the effect on the man and the masses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Quick reference. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 16. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, Christians, once again, we're talking about this man in the depths of darkness, in the depths of evil, possessed by countless demons, all these demons infesting this man. Jesus comes to save this man nonetheless. This man's in bad, man. He's in bad. And Jesus comes to help him. So let's do the same for those who are maybe in prison, those who maybe have committed all types of atrocities in this life. Let's go and help them. We have some brethren here who I know even go to prison sometimes and try to help those who are in prison to get back on the right track, maybe go to God completely to try to help them know the gospel. We have that evangelism going on in this congregation. I love that. And we need to do that for even ourselves and for everyone who we can. No matter what you've done in this life, no matter your past, you can always be forgiven. Because Paul, even the chief of sinners, was forgiven. He was used as an example for us so that we can know that. You can always, always, always escape sin. No matter what you've done, you can always escape the bondage, the strain, the evil sin that is overtaking you. You can always escape that with who? With Jesus. No matter what you've done in your life. Now the last verses, Mark 5, 18 through 20. And when he had gotten into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." He departed and began to proclaim it in Decapolis, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So this man, he's healed by Jesus. He's happy. He's joyous. I mean, can you imagine? This man knows he's been doing that all this time, and now he's healed? And this man's about to leave me? No, I don't want you to go, Jesus. Please let me go with you. And what does Jesus tell him to do? He tells him to tell others. He tells him to tell other people of what I've done for you. Evangelize. Tell other people what I've done. Tell other people this miracle I just performed for you. How I just healed you. How I just helped you. He's telling this man, do that for me as I've done this for you. So what a great, great example in Scripture. And of course, what do we see him do? Verse 20, he's proclaiming it. He's going everywhere he can. Decapolis. He's telling it to everyone that he can. We should also do the same. We have this account, Christians. We have all these accounts from all these men and women across the Scripture, across all the events of history that happened here. We have all this Scripture that we can also tell others, just like that man was commanded to do. And we're commanded to do it, and we should do it, Christians, in our everyday lives. Let's bring these messages, these verses, these words of God, these miracles of God, to other people who need to hear these things, who need to hear the healing power of Jesus, who need to know that. Let's do that, Christians. Let's take up the Great Commission. That's what that is. Let's tell others. Let's even let other people know it by the way we live, by how much we dedicate ourselves and focus on God in our lives. Let's do that. Let's not neglect that. Let's not neglect God anymore. Let's not neglect, of course, our mission as Christians. Other verses I might bring to your attention is how Christians should cling to our Lord. And this is the last two verses. We're not going to turn to them unless you want to do it later, of course. But Joshua 23:8 and Deuteronomy 10:20. Joshua 23:8 and Deuteronomy 10:20. Some two good other verses for clinging to your Lord. The Israelites were to do it. Christians are to do it. All those in the patriarchal age were to do it. Of course, all the people of God should cling to God. Now, Christians, if there's anything tonight, or this morning rather, that you have amiss in your life, that you have trouble with in your life, if you have anything at all that you need prayers for, that you need help with, please let us help you this morning. Please let us pray with you and help to take care of you by, of course, Jesus' healing power. If you have any sin in your life, please let us help you with that. Let us help you get that repentance this morning. Don't let that be in your life any longer. Please come to the front. Let us pray with you. Let us ask for forgiveness, even together, for any sins that we've committed. Let's do that with you this morning, Christians. If you have any other things, family members struggling, you struggling with physical things, mental things, anything, let us help you with that today, Christians. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Jesus that we've talked about today, who just saved this man miraculously and by healing power. That healing power, even the spiritual healing power, not miraculous today, but that healing power spiritually can help you today. Will you let it help you today? That is up to you. That is up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to the person sitting next to you. That's up to your choice. Will you take up that action today to follow Jesus, to believe Jesus is the Christ, to repent of your sins, to turn away from your former life, to confess Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized into the water that's right behind me to be remiss of your sins, to be added to the kingdom of God. And then, of course, Christians, remain faithful. Remain acceptable and pleasing to God for the rest of your life so that you can go and remain in heaven with God forevermore. Will you do that today? Will you come to the front so that we can help you? If you have any need today, Christians, friends, please come today as we stand and as we sing.
Amen.